This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
And we're live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Co-host, honorary co-host for the overnight, Brian Poronski. Just reminded me to mention that at the top of the hour, Tyler, huh? This guy's a radio vet after 3 hours. He's like, shouldn't you mention it's the top of the hour that we're from the Hyundai Score Studios? Yes, I should, Brian Poronski, and thank you for reminding me of that. I do appreciate it. We'll take your calls at 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank. Feel free to jump on in. And plenty of people are jumping in on the Bears talk today, including Olin Kreutz with Molly and Haw at 7 o'clock, Dave Wanstead at 7:25, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs at 9. Then on the midday show with Bernstein and Harris, Anthony Herron will visit with the guys at 11, TJ Edwards at noon, afternoons with Bernstein and Harris, Tim Jenkins at 1 o'clock, Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock, and Jalen Johnson at 5. All that on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday right here on The Score and presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank. Bears lose for the 8th straight time, 30-12 to the Vikings in Minnesota last night. Afterwards, right here on the postgame show, is Layla Rahimi, Olin Kreutz, and Patrick Manley talking about that loss and just where this thing has gone wrong for the Chicago Bears. We bring you that right here, right now on The Score.
Hello, we are happy to have you after, unfortunately, another Bears loss, 30-12 to Minnesota. Maybe I'm crazy, but this one actually felt a little closer than that. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the Bears actually tried to string some drives together. But unfortunately, it's now reached a record of 4-9 on the season as this losing streak continues with really 4-10 on the season. As this losing streak continues with no end in sight. They started the season at 4-2. We are now at 4-10. That means it's been 8 straight losses. So on that chipper note, I would like to introduce Patrick Manley, who I helped watch the game with in our studio, and Olin Kreutz. And guys, I'm pretty sure we were all pretty close on the score predictions as well. Refresh my memory, Olin, on what you had in the pregame show.
Yeah, I had 30-12. Kind of what you expected, that the Vikings would overwhelm the Chicago Bears. And they just, at this point of the year, Pat and Layla, what you are is what you are, right? Like, you're going to make the same mistakes. You're going to crumble it at the goal line. Someone's not going to report. You're going to get stopped on 4th-and-1. You guys are going to make mistakes on blocks. And, you know, we could pick it apart and go through every little mistake, Pat. But when you watch this team, it's just over and over and over again. They show you their identity. They're probably trying to get Coach Eberflus back to the building. Maybe they can fire him again.
Yeah, Olin, it's just uninspiring, man. I just, like you said, you keep seeing the same mistakes, but then there's also something that shows up, and it's extremely embarrassing. The fact that Kramer didn't report, I mean, that's something, you know, you go through short yardage and goal line on Fridays, and you almost make a joke of it, the guy who's reporting, that he just turns to one of the coaches and always rubs his jersey, says, hey, you know, 68 reporting, 68 reporting, and just to forget that. And that's the only thing he had to do, and that to me just kind of sums up this team when they talk about details and accountability and all that kind of stuff, and something that little can be that big in the game. The second series of the half, I think the defense came out and had 2-3 and outs, and then so you're like, hey, maybe something can happen here. Maybe they can make it a game in the fourth quarter, and you take 7 off the board, and you only get 3. And it just it amazes me, guys, that there is always something to talk about that happens like that. And, I'm like, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? And there it is. But it's just – it's uninspiring, and it's just brutal. Olin, you and I were texting each other. I might have had some cuss words in our text back and forth. But it's just – it's not fun, and it can't be fun for them either. But they keep saying the same thing. We need to be more accountable. We need to take care of the details. Well, you're not. And it's showing it, you know, in that loss in 30-12 to the Vikings.
Yeah, and it shows up, you know, Tyreek Stevenson, cover three. The same guy again that last week – was peeking in the backfield on that first touchdown, right? Yep. So just like we're talking about, the things are repeating itself, and then now it's the same players also making mistakes over and over again. They keep talking to us about their details and how they have to be more accountable. And, you know, we were talking about the fourth and one, and yeah, you know, Cole Kmet, I don't like the toss behind the left tackle, the young left tackle, Karan Amagaji, who struggled tonight, which you thought he would, right? You thought he would, going against a very good pass rusher and Jonathan Grenard for the Minnesota Vikings, and it left them one-on-one too many times for my liking. I don't think you're going to go for the fourth and one early in the game, and you're going to toss it behind your young left tackle and Cole Kmet, who got stuffed right there at the point of attack, right? And then, you know, the next fourth and run, they're running power. And Pat and Layla, you know, if you put another tight end in there, the gap, it's one gap wider now, right? If you're not running with a fullback. And I go back to the fullback again. And we kept asking, why don't you just keep blocking game if you want to use a fullback, right? Then you don't have to get a center to report, right? And then you can put a guy in the backfield for power. It's just really, really a frustrating team to watch this year. I don't know. I don't even know, guys, honestly, where to put the blame anymore. Like, it's just all of them.
Well, I would say what you mentioned there, that's coaching, right? I mean, you're sitting there and saying, okay, our first fourth and one call, and guys, and they probably did talk about it, we're going to go for it early. We're going to put the pressure on them, see if we can get this thing going. And that's what you came up with when you're sitting in meetings? I know you maybe didn't know during the week that Karan Amagaji was going to be in there until, what, Friday or Saturday or later in the week.
Yeah,
but still,
Sunday.
once he's put in there and you understand that should be a big Sharpie across that, right? You take that play and say, no, let's go, at least go to the right. That to me is on coaching. And then, yeah, Olin, and then the other fourth and one, when a guard pulls, can you just go blow somebody up, not dance around, you know, when you're coming around the center? That just I didn't like that either. And then, obviously, I think Swift, you know, he tried to hit the old backside A-gap like Thomas Jones, Olin.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you line up an extra tight end there instead of using a fullback, you basically made the right guard the center.
Yeah.
Right? So now the A-gap is outside, actually the B-gap, and I don't want to go through, you can't really explain it on radio, but it's just frustrating, again, to watch. And Karan's got to cut that guy there.
Yeah.
You can't try to cut him off with crowd noise on the road, and he'll learn that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what you're hoping that a good thing comes out of this is that he has tons of film now against a top-level pass rusher on the road with crowd noise, right? So I don't know what really to take out of this game. And then, you know, the defense again, the coverage, the lack of pass rush, you know, sitting in zone early in the game. It's just all like you're watching a rerun of every game.
Yeah, and we're seeing – oh, sorry, Layla, but you're seeing also – let's go to Caleb. Caleb looked inconsistent. I thought he was very inconsistent, missed some easy throws, missed that touchdown throw to Keenan on the left sideline. He looked scared in that pocket running around. I want to see growth, and I don't think we're seeing the growth we were hoping to see. And I'm concerned about this inconsistent with his passing, and just he just doesn't seem accurate right now. So there's a lot of things that we were hoping for later in the year when they got to go against these division games in these division games, that you would see that growth. And we would say, hey, man, we checked the box here. He's getting better there. He's getting better there. I just see him kind of staying the same and just the maybe saying he's regressing a little bit with his accuracy.
I mean, that's something that I did want to point out, and I'm so lucky that we have you two to talk about this, Olin and Pat. And I joked with James Williams and, you know, previous analysts we've had on the Score, of course. We almost have enough for an offensive line, almost. I'll give you what I can. I got a chop block to give her to. But there was so much today where you could illustrate, not only was it a line flaw. You know, we've talked about placing the blame on the line when it is due. And you see that happening. But there's multiple issues happening in this game. It's a multi-system organ failure in a way. Which organ is failing the most and the quickest? This is a triage now when it comes to you using terms like that versus this game. And to me, guys, there's a couple of situations that happen. Number one, you know, we talk about not letting one loss beat you twice. I hate that the Hail Mary was the turning point in the season. Like, this is a movie. This is real life. And one loss shouldn't beat you twice. And now it's beaten the Bears how many times? We're talking about an 8-game losing streak here. And even in this game, you saw how one mistake led to another, killed a drive. The sack led to a bad check down where maybe Caleb Williams is concerned on early drives in the game, right? Check down to a short run. Then we see the sack fumble happen on the third play. So the sack leads to a conservative play where maybe you're not trusting yourself. Then you see the sack fumble in the turnover. Or we're seeing what happened with Doug Kramer. He failed to report. I've never heard such a condescending tone out of an official. Like, we all just failed our test for using ink and not number two pencil on the Scantron, you know? So that happens. And then what should have been a touchdown gets called back, and that turns into just a field goal. At least in this case, guys, if you're going to start holding people accountable and taking out variables in a harsh way when you fire Shane Waldron, when you fire Matt Eberflus, we start to figure out who's actually responsible here. And a lot of the blame has to go to the players, too. One bright spot I can say is at least the defense was not picked apart like it was against San Francisco the week before. It's still 30-12. Let's not get that twisted. But at least we didn't see two explosive plays on the first drive like we did the week before. You know, there weren't many breakdowns.
To me, just what it was, guys, is just they're a much better football team. And that's what makes me upset, that it turned into a 30-12 game. And, yes, it was a little bit closer, and you could hear Troy Aikman saying, hopefully it's going to turn into a better game. But we all know that. We all felt that. It's just they are a much better team, and it's unfortunate going into the season that we were supposed to be better than them. And then they're probably going to maybe win the division now with the injuries in Detroit. And it's just to sit there and watch that and think about all the positive vibes or positive feelings we had about this team and what the potential could be and where we were going to be, maybe, you know, talking about the playoffs, you know, what these games are going to mean late at the year. And now we're just sitting there watching the Minnesota Vikings kick our butt. And you just like, God, why can't we be them? And we're not even close. And it's like, what do we have to do this offseason to be competitive? We're just not a competitive football team anymore, and that's what's so disappointing about this season to me.
You can't lose your head coach and your offensive coordinator and expect everyone to keep developing, right? And that's why I was fascinated by everyone talking about this intern head coach bump that they were supposed to get, right? And I just didn't see it coming from, you know, when you lose your OC, you lose your head coach, and they're both your play callers. Right. You were talking about the thing you're probably worried about the most, if you're worried about the Chicago Bears future, is the way Caleb Williams is starting to look. But if you're really looking at it, Pat and Layla, from the outside looking in, how is he supposed to develop amongst all this chaos? Right. And if you look at the Chicago Bears, here's my problem, is what you both are saying right now. I can't pinpoint the problem.
Right.
Right. I can't just tell you this is the problem with this team. We shouldn't be in year three of the Ryan Poles era and saying there is this problem and this problem, and okay, that's a problem, but this is a problem too, and that's also a problem. Yeah. Right? So that's where it's really starting to worry me now, when you're watching this football team play ball and I'm saying, well, that guy made a great play there. His last name, I got to go through my flip card and say his name is Ford, right?
Yeah.
Jonathan Ford played a decent game and knows against Bradbury, but is Jonathan Ford going to be here next year? Where's Pickens, right? Where's Javon Dexter?
Right.
Where's the guys we've drafted to develop to get our football team over the hump? And that's my problem when I watch this game. Guys, it's the second time Bajie came in and takes snaps.
Yeah.
Not because you blew somebody out, because you got blown out.
Yeah, that's an embarrassing thing for the team. And going into the season, everybody questioned, I think the number one question, maybe the biggest question, and being much higher of a question than anything else, was how's the O-line going to play? Mm-hmm. Well, right now, we know that. That didn't work out, right? Well, now we're asking about the D-line. The middle linebacker is not playing for what you're paying him for. Tyreek Stevenson is not playing as well as you thought he would. What's going to happen with Jaquan Brisker? Like, now you have even more questions that are at the same level as of what we were asking about the offensive line. So it's you were hoping to figure this thing out and say, okay, we'll get through the year, then we'll fix the one problem we have, which is the O-line. But now you have three, four, five problems you have to deal with, and I feel like we're back to ground zero again.
Well, and let's not forget, Jervon Dexter is injured. Mm-hmm. Are you really confident about him being the fulcrum to your defensive front that you say is so important for this team? Is that now going to still continue now that you need a new head coach? Are you going to bring in an offensive head coach? We heard some reports on the pregame show on TV talking about that, but I don't have the confidence that that's necessarily going to happen. How telling, guys, were the shots of George McCaskey and Brian Poles upstairs watching this game? Meanwhile, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who was also available the same offseason that Ryan Poles was, sitting pretty knowing that he's made the smart decisions, hiring a head coach who knows how to make an offensive talent not only work well, but reclaim him, change the opinion on him maybe in the league. And he's the favorite for Coach of the Year right now, Kevin O'Connell.
It's been an embarrassment of hiring. I mean, it's been that way for 12 years. We've talked about since George took over. It's been an embarrassment with, you know, you start with just drawing a blank on his as the first GM right after. Why am I drawing a blank on
Pace?
His name? Phil Emery. Yes, thank you, Phil Emery. Thinking about him and then him bringing in Mark Trestman, and just keeps continuing that way for 12 years that they don't make the right hires. Who's making those decisions? We know who is, but now we have Kevin Warren in there. And hopefully he can be a different voice, a different set of eyes to figure out who the right person is to bring in. But that's just me crossing my fingers, right? We don't know that. We still know who's in charge. We still know who we're sitting in those interviews and making the decision of who they feel like will fit into Hallis Hall. So I don't trust it, but I guess I'm hopeful, just fingers crossed for Kevin Warren, that he is the right guy in there to help figure this thing out.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason again, right, Pat? And yep. We joked in the pregame show that me and you are not the pre and post game for games. We're the pre and post for different regimes that come to Hallis Hall. That's what we do nowadays. We have to, like, you can't even talk about the game and someone's pass set or the play that was called or the scheme that was run or what is going on. You have to keep talking about the plan, right? The actual plan, like, when you watch them put this team together and then – I'm always surprised, guys, when we get to the end of the year and everyone's surprised that you're not a better running team. And I'm saying, well, did you see who they signed in the offseason, right? Did you see them sign and draft a bunch of wide receivers? Did you see them sign a running back who's not a downhill runner per se, although he was running with attitude tonight? I'll give Swift that, right? He was running downhill, he was running guys over. He had a great chip block, but consistency, right? You need that consistently every week, week in and week out, to bring that kind of attitude to your football team. And now, you know, you lose Braxton Jones and you have a third string, your left tackle from Yale come in, right? And he may develop into a good player. And I don't want to be too hard on a guy who I told you, who was told he was going to start Friday or Saturday. And you know, to the fact of, you know, I don't know why people are shocked they're not running the ball. That's not the way they're built.
Right.
They took a quarterback, number one, who basically threw the ball all through college, right? And then they signed a receiver for $20 million, gave another receiver $27 million, and then drafted a receiver, number nine in the draft, signed a running back for $10 million, signed a tight end, and now everyone screams at you, why can't you run the ball? I just, guys, the plan is the plan, and you have to stick to it. And they are stuck with the way they put this team together. And like you're seeing, it's not working.
Yeah, what did Mully say? He called it they're building the 7-on-7 team before they've built the team. And, you know, I got a lot of flack, guys, for just simply asking the question. And what we knew is an outrageously rich draft class when it came to offensive tackles. We knew that that was an excellent class, especially if you were in a top 10 situation like the Bears were.
Yeah.
Did they do the right thing? Did they do the right? Like, Roma Dunze is going to be there. There's no doubt. I like him.
Sure.
But you had to make some tough decisions. You also decided to trade for Keenan Allen. Was a rookie quarterback realistically going to be able to know what to do with all of those weapons when the line was deficient and we saw that coming?
I mean, that's another knock on Ryan Poles, in my opinion, that, you know, we celebrated how he was building the Bears with some of these names, but was he doing it the right way? What you're talking about, not drafting an O-lineman, not signing in an O-lineman instead of Keenan Allen, not bringing in a big free agent or anything like that. And we're seeing it right now. It's that might be the big key to make Caleb uncomfortable and that could be hurting his development. You know, you thought you'd get him weapons on the outside, but, I mean, Harbaugh talked about it, right? Jim Harbaugh said, as soon as he got there, how am I going to fix it? Give him a running game. How am I going to make Herbert better? Give him a running game. And we're seeing it play out, and it's working for him, and it's just, you know, maybe this is another knock the way we need to evaluate Ryan Poles.
Guys, this is going to date us all. But you know who was a good quarterback who benefited from having a solid running game? John Elway.
Yes.
In the second part of his career.
Yep.
The more successful part. Yep. I mean, how far do you have to go back to show that a running game helps every single quarterback under the sun? Troy Aikman's talking about it on the game broadcast tonight. He's talking about North Turner. North Turner and the Cowboys also had one of the best offensive lines of all time and one of the greatest running backs of all time, and a very good fullback, I might add, who's also in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Yes, those are all good points, right? And when you talk about all of that comes full circle to, you mentioned North Turner, right? And Luke Getsy is fired, right? Waldron is fired. And you go back to the plan of watching this team now, and it's frustrating to see that, okay, Olufoshanu is there, and he plays for the Jets now, and he's a tackle from the Penn State. And yes, we all thought Rome Odunze went to University of Washington. I'm from University of Washington. Rome Odunze is a great football player, right? But if you're the Chicago Bears and you look at your history and you say, okay, well, what do we have to fix? What is our biggest problem? What has been our problem for years? And we've been through this many times, right? I mean, they took Jaquan Brisker, right? And Cam Jurgens, the Eagles starting center, was on the board. Right after Jaquan Brisker, he goes to the Eagles, right? And Brisker, we all hope he gets healthy, but he's out, right? And he's not playing right now. And then they take Tyrique Stevenson the next year, and John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota, the number one center in the draft, is on the board. He's playing center for the Giants, right? So it's just, when they took Velus Jones, their starting right tackle for the Seahawks, was on the board right after Velus Jones. It's just you chose not to fix that unit.
Yep.
And now you're suffering for it.
Your reaction at CHGO was great.
Right. I said then it's because Pat and Layla, you're watching a car crash.
Right.
Right. You're watching something like it's you're careening to the cliff, and you're like, guys, you're gonna fall off this cliff. Like, do you not see that? Mm-hmm. The two former offensive linemen. Do you guys not see what's about to happen here? And sure enough, now you're struggling there. And like I said, man, I mean, Karan was out. Remember, he was out all of camp, right?
Yes.
He was injured. So he had no reps. His pass set looks like he hasn't got much reps.
That was terrible too,
right?
Man.
So, but it's bigger than that, right? There's also 30 points on the board, right? There's also receivers dropping balls. There's too many, you know, Troy Aikman talked about too many receivers in the same spot.
Yes.
Receivers wide open. We're not throwing it to them. We're not getting any big runs out of the running game. They got DJ Moore playing running back out of a four wide receiver set to change it up. The defensive line got not enough pressure on Sam Darnold. It's just all right now, guys, man. My biggest problem is that everything's a problem.
That's the best way to put it right there by Olin Kreutz along with Patrick Manley and Layla Rahimi on our post-game show right here on 670 The Score. And that line by Olin of, we're not doing pre- and post-game shows for games anymore. We're the pre- and post-game show for different regimes inside the Chicago Bears organization. That got me. That got a legitimate LOL out of this guy right here. But they're right. And talking with Brian Peronsky, my honorary co-host for the night from our Cubs for a Cure charity auction along with me. You and Brian, you were here. Like you got like an inside peek at how these shows happen. And you saw us like at the start of the show try to talk about the game. Like we started the show talking about the game. But all the calls, all the texts, like, you can't even talk about the game. It's because the problems are so long running and so deep rooted with this Bears team that we just keep going to the top and talking about the organization and where that went wrong, that you can't even really get to the game and talk about a play call or a play or a highlight or a turning point, like that, because it's so systemic with the Bears. How bad this thing is, that inevitably the conversation turns to how bad they are as an organization and not even about the football team that goes out on the field every week.
And I think part of that too is because, as you highlighted earlier in the show, very few people thought it could get this bad.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so sitting here talking now about a single game in the middle of an 8-game losing streak, the second worst in Bears history. It's meaningless, right, to look at a single game and talk about one play call, one play here or there.
That's Brian Poronski, honorary co-host for a night. And by the way, text, shout out and major props to special guest host Brian for doing a really great job tonight. Look at that, Brian. You so got fans.
I promise that's not a plant. I did check that number against my contacts.
Does your phone number happen to start with 847-226, Brian Poronski? I'm just asking. Does your phone number or your wife's phone number start with 847-226?
It is not. Wrong
okay.
area code.
Just checking. All right. You can get in with a text or a phone call. 312-644-6767 if you want to get any Bears thoughts off your mind. And we'll hear from Caleb Williams, all that and more on a Plumbers 911. Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Part of that game plan was trying to chase down once again Caleb Williams. It was like a little bit of a cat and mouse game with you guys at times. You know, how difficult is it to chase that guy around, and how exhausted were you on that big play over here?
Yeah, man. When you got a guy like him, man, he can literally make every throw on the field, and obviously he can use his legs, extend plays. You just got to make sure you continue to just be after him, be relentless. But, man, listen, I'm going to sleep really, really good tonight because I just know that I'm exhausted right now. So I'm glad it was a team effort, man. At times you got to do a little bit more. Obviously when you got a guy like that, glad we came out of the dub, and we got to keep going.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
At least he was tired. At least it wasn't easy for Jonathan Greenard to rack up six tackles, three solo, and a sack, not to mention a couple of pressures on Caleb Williams as he was absolutely terrorizing Karen Amagaje. I always have trouble with that name. Amagaje is the name that I'm trying to pronounce there, and it is almost 4 in the morning. Give a guy a break. I'm here with my honorary co-host for the night, Brian Poronski, winner of our Cubs for a Cure charity auction, and I read a text before the break praising Brian. It's going too far. Here's more. It says, Brian has been amazing. He's got bleep to say and send like he came prepared. mad props. What about me? I'm here too. Have I been doing anything?
Everybody knows you're a pro.
Brian deserves an hour on Breakfast Ball with Parco. Come on. Put me on national TV. 312-644-6767 is how you can get in on the show. We'll hear from Caleb Williams in just a few minutes after the Bears' 8th straight loss, 30-12 to the Vikings in Minnesota last night. But want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Let's go to Frank, who's in Frankfurt, and now he's on the Score. What's up, Frank?
Hey, I just wanted to say a couple of points. I think it's people underscore how important that front line is because it affects every aspect of the game. How many times has Caleb been sacked this year so far? He's got to be in the top three, right?
Yes, he's been sacked more than anybody in the league. I believe the number is 58 sacks now. I'll double check that.
Yeah, I think that's what we got.
The only positive about that would be how his development is about avoiding injury. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten injured, and I'm praying to God that, the rest of the season goes okay for him. But and I think Ryan Poles did look at the teams over the last 10 years. Has there been a team with more talent than this year? I mean, if we had a front line with the talent that we got, I believe that our record would be a lot better, especially considering that we lost, seven games by less than a score.
Yeah. Before today, they had lost all their division games by, I think, a total of 7 points, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, they've been right there in a lot of these games. And, yeah, the margin of error, I appreciate the call, Frank, the margin of error, I guess, is the term I'm looking for, is really small in the NFL. And if you're missing just one facet of your game, whether it's an offensive line or you have a thin wide receiver core or a thin pass rush, any facet of your roster or game that is not up to snuff will be exploited in this league, because I talked about it earlier in the show. What separates the very good from the very bad is not a lot. It's in those margins. It's in those very small margins, and the Bears just haven't done enough in those margins. And I was right. He's been sacked an NFL high 58 times this season. Before last night's game, he was on pace for 73, which would be three short of the record set by the Texans and David Carr back in, I don't have the year here, but he was sacked in 16 games 76 times. That's a lot.
Yeah, and I think you add on to that margin of error, bad coaching.
Yeah.
Bad decision-making in-game, which, the talk after those division games was,
second decisions
directly attributable to Eberflus. We all saw the Detroit game. We have previewed that at some point, probably in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll talk about where do we go from here, what gets things better. One thing that we did have last year and the year before is very similar line. Wouldn't say it was good, but serviceable, adequate.
And I thought in that last segment when we played back the opening of our post-game show here with Layla and Pat and Olin made a really good point and I thought went through a really interesting exercise. He said he went back and watched last year's Bears to see what was different about the run game, but he watched the Tyson Bagent games. So he watched the games where teams didn't have to worry about the threat of Justin Fields taking off. They didn't have to worry about, covering the edge and making sure Justin Fields didn't get the edge. He watched them with Tyson Bagent and how they were able to run the ball successfully in those games versus what they're doing in this season. And he said it's simple. First of all, they changed the way that they utilized the run game, their blocking schemes, and they were just better. Like they were better blocking. They were better getting down the field and getting bodies on bodies and blocking guys. And how you take a step back from year two to year three in what might be the most important unit on your roster in the offensive line, especially when you're talking about putting the number one pick in the draft behind those guys, like that's probably between that and the head coach, one of those two things is the greatest error that Ryan Poles has made as the general manager, whether it's the coaching or whether it's the O-line. But between those two things, like, you have some major foundational problems within this football team.
Yeah, and I think you're struggling to identify which is the worst and what's on that list.
Right.
Because another thing that Olin said, which is the problem is that everything is wrong right now. Everything looks broken.
I think the direct quote was, the problem is that everything is a problem. Let's get in one more call before we hear from Caleb Williams. It'll be Bernie, who's in Northwest Indiana. Now he's on the score. What's up, Bern?
Hey, Rami, what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. The Bears suck.
Not a whole.
Yeah,
they sure do, yeah. You know? I mean, I heard Layla go back to, you know, that game in Washington, you know, as what turned this whole season around. But really, they didn't really beat anybody in the four games that they won. They beat all the garbage teams. They beat the teams they were supposed to beat, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they didn't beat anybody.
They got blown out by the teams they were, two of the teams they were supposed to beat.
And the Bears in the first half this year, they've been down by two touchdowns in almost every game. You know? I mean, you can't win football. You can't win football games playing from behind all the time.
They are not prepared. Week in and week out, they are not prepared to come out and compete. And that's one of, or a combination of, a couple of different things. One is just their practice habits are not good. They're not getting themselves ready for the football game during the week leading up to the game, or, and it's probably a combination of these two things, they're just not showing up on game day in terms of their energy, their intensity, their compete level, something that, as I pointed out earlier, Troy Aikman on ESPN and Kurt Warner on the Westwood One radio call both pointed out to as something that was apparent and evident to them, that they didn't show up with the type of energy you need to show up for a football game. So, yeah, that's a big problem, Bernie. Didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, finish your thought. Is Bernie still there? Tyler, do we still have Bernie? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Bernie.
I'm really tired of seeing number 29 chirping out there on the field all the time. I mean, that guy needs to show up and play football, you know? I mean, he's just terrible as far as I'm concerned.
Tariq Stevenson, thanks for the call, Bernie. Having a really, really rough year. Even the interception he got tonight.
He had a pick tonight.
He should have, a pick he should have let hit the ground. He lost his team 12 yards with that interception. I'm not going to kill him for that.
Yep.
Earlier in the show, I said, you're a football player. Football is flying your way. Your instinct, your muscle memory is grab that football. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's, as long as it's not like a crucial game-changing situation, I'm not going to be too hard on a guy for costing his team 12 yards by getting an interception. But even when he does something right this year, seemingly he's doing something wrong. It's been I was a huge Tariq Stevenson guy. I thought we were all set at cornerback, that you had Jalen Johnson on one side and Tariq Stevenson on the other side. And not that he was like a lockdown, but good enough to be that guy opposite of a lockdown cornerback like Jalen Johnson. And he just hasn't been that. He's simply hasn't, and a lot of the time he's talking way too much for a guy who has not been that. Quick text before we hear from Caleb. This is from the 407. Where is 407, you ask? This is Tim from St. Cloud, Florida. He says, the GM put the team together. Left tackle was terrible. If Caleb doesn't change the way he plays hero ball, he's going to wind up getting seriously hurt in these last couple games, because our O-line is terrible and our left tackle is terrible and our depth is terrible. And when the Lions lost a tackle, they put one in and they didn't miss a beat. We put our mag. I don't know what this. I think this is a typo. I think this is one of those autocorrect typos. Maybe we can try and figure out what he's saying. We put our magazine out there and he was terrible. Third round pick from Yale sucks. Yeah, man, I do worry. Tonight, on the one that he fumbled, I was worried about Caleb Williams getting up. The game against the Lions, when he took that hit to the knee on the sidelines, I was worried about Caleb Williams getting up. That is my greatest fear here down the stretch of this season, is that something happens to Caleb Williams that affects next season. That keeps me up at night thinking about that, with the offensive line that they run out there in front of him week in and week out.
If you want to talk about how bad it could get,
yes,
that would be an awful end to it.
I don't even want to talk too much about
no.
it. I don't want to manifest that. I don't want to make that come true.
No, I agree.
But it's a real possibility. when he's taking as many hits as he is, it's a real possibility.
Any play, right? It's the NFL. Any play, anybody can get injured. And when you're on pace to set the record for sacks or approaching it or near it, it's even more of a concern. You know, as far as the texter, again, I think we're not just on our backup left tackle. You know, we're all the way down the line.
Third, fourth? I mean, I don't know exactly how the depth chart lined up to start the season, but you're on your third or fourth left tackle at this point.
Yeah, you know, again, I think we addressed this earlier in the show. I don't think you can blame Amagaje. You know, this is a guy that was injured to start the, you know, when they drafted him, did not have the reps, and learned he was starting yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. So, within the last 24 to 48 hours, he learned that.
Yeah.
That's Brian Peronski, honorary co-host for the overnight show here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank. Coming up on a Football Monday on a Tuesday, Olin Kreutz joins Mully and Haw at 7, Dave Wannstedt at 7:25, DJ Moore at 8, Brad Biggs will join those guys at 9, and much, much more throughout the day right here on The Score. Right now, though, let's hear from Bears rookie quarterback Caleb Williams after the 30-12 loss to the Vikings in Minnesota last night.
How's everybody doing? All right.
How are you feeling physically right now?
I think I got a couple bruises and contusions. I think I got to do a better job of hydrating and recovering throughout the week. You know, to try and flush out, you know, some of these bruises and things like that that I have, and contusions and all of that. Get in the weight room, you know, to be able to keep, you know, my muscles and everything where they need to be for the, you know, for this, these last couple games of the regular season, and being able to, you know, stand strong and, you know, feel good and healthy, you know, in these last couple games, as I did in the first half.
Has there been a season? Kale, has there been an accumulation effect to all these sacks and hits you're taking, maybe taking a toll on you, not just physically, but mentally as well?
I wouldn't say mentally. Obviously, physically, when you, I mean, it's just, let's put it in this context, is say you get in three car accidents and, you know, a month, you're going to feel it. And that's what a hit is in football, is if y'all didn't know, a football and getting hit, especially when you can't deliver a hit to somebody, as in like running the ball. You know, you take those over, you know, amount of time, and, you know, it's, you know, it builds up. But like I said before, I got to do well with hydrating, do well with working out, and all of that, and stay to my routine. And, you know, it's kept me healthy throughout the whole year, and got to keep going.
Caleb, how do you make sense of where you're standing right now, where you guys are out of the playoffs, you're 4-10, the offense just scored 12 points. I'm sure none of this is what you expected. How do you make sense of where you're at and where to go from here?
Yeah, where to go from here is I have another game, you know, coming up in a few days, and so you know, gotta go and watch the film. I gotta find ways to get better. You know, they did well on defense today. Didn't bring as many cover zeros as I thought they would bring, and as we thought they would bring. You know, they played a little bit more coverage and zone. They dropped out and, you know, did a couple interesting things on defense, and you know, it's something that that I'll go back and look at, and, you know, once I see it, and I kind of figured it out a little bit, you know, at the end of the game, but, you know, once I go back, watch it and see it, and you know, figure all of that out, you know, when it happens again, and, you know, when I see that look again, or, you know, teams are probably going to do it, you know, because it you know, they ended up stopping us a few times on some of their exotic looks they brought, and had in coverage. And so you know, just being able to find ways to get better myself and the team, and then you know, looking forward to this week.
The first part of that question, though, the reality of where you're at and how your rookie season has gone, it's almost over now.
Yep.
How you've arrived here.
Yeah, it's been frustrating and encouraging. I would say the frustrating part is obviously we were on a, how many games now? Eight? 8-game losing streak, and that's not, like I've said before, it's new to me. I haven't experienced anything like this, so that's the frustrating part. The encouraging part is how much we fight as a team. The encouraging part is us as a team being able to go through, and myself included, being able to go through kind of all of what's happened this year. Me not playing well in the beginning of the season, and feeling like I was seeing it well, and then being able to find ways to keep growing, keep progressing, through those times that I was frustrated then, and then, coaches getting fired, and all of this stuff that's going on, 4-10 right now. So being able to wake up, be consistent, do that every day with how it's been going is encouraging for me. It's encouraging for this team, and we got to keep going. But yeah, it's been encouraging, but also frustrating for myself.
Two short weeks coming up,
yeah,
back to back quickly. What's the process of troubleshooting and also growing when you've got a tight time frame to do it?
Yeah, obviously it's a quick turnaround. These next two, I believe, and so being able to get in there, watch the film, go over that quickly, figure out ways that I can be better, the team can be better, coaches, everybody, and then from there, obviously we gotta get going on this game plan for Detroit, I believe, is in a few days, and so being able to correct and then move on very fast is something that we have to do right here, right now, and so. I think that's the the next step.
You know, the amount of times you've been kind of under pressure this season, regardless of if it's the line or play or what have you, how much has that hindered you or kept you from getting that rhythm you talked about this week, that just wanted to get in a rhythm? How difficult is that when you've been pressured as much as you have?
Yeah, obviously, that's the defensive, coaches and players' job is to not allow offenses and QBs and running backs, wide receivers, everybody getting the rhythm. And so we just got to find ways to be efficient in the first half, find ways to keep the ball moving, find ways to simply put points on the board. It's tough when the other team's scoring in the first half and you're not scoring, and you got to come out in the second half and have these comeback games, and you put pressure on the offense and the defense, to hold them to where they're at, and you got to go now score. So just playing efficient football, us all of us respecting the game, and what it takes to win. I think that's the answer to that one.
On the touchdown that was called back for the legal substitution, can you kind of describe the self-inflicted nature of that, of just being that close, and then it's a penalty there, it's a holding penalty later that just you guys can't capitalize on a touchdown, you got to settle for the field goal?
Yeah, it's frustrating because we practice so much, and I don't know if we reported, is what we call it, report to the ref while we were running on the field or not, but the ref didn't see it. I believe right in that moment I heard him say that he reported, and when he was on the field, and ref didn't see it. And so having self-inflicting wounds right there on that touchdown, and then we get back up, we score again, and have another self-inflicting wound. It's challenging because scoring in this league is tough, winning games is tough, and you got to score to be able to win. And so, taking those points off the board, I think it was obviously, I think it obviously hurt us in that moment, because that was such a big moment for us. And, we end up having to settle. So, we got to get better. We got to not have self-inflicted wounds, whether it's penalties and, face masks or, illegal substitutions and things like that. Whatever the case may be, we can't have those because of how hard it is to win games and score.
Two more. You said that Brian Flores is doing some unique things on defense. How do you think you saw the field today, just in terms of what they're doing and possibly what you were seeing?
Yeah, the first quarter, I think he got me a few times. Didn't turn the. Well, the sack fumble, I did turn the ball over, but didn't throw the ball to their guys and have an interception. So I think protecting the football in that way, I did well in the first quarter. But, you know, he had a few wrinkles, which every coach will. And he's one of those coaches that, you know, he'll have a few unique wrinkles. And he did today. And it's, you know, I'll definitely go back and learn from it. Definitely something I'll have in my memory bank for when I play him again at some point, or you know, for if, you know, another team uses you know, those two defensive looks that he had today. But other than that, right after first quarter, went to the iPad, you know, figured it out, and figured out what, you know, those two wrinkles were, and definitely something that, like I said, I'll throw in the memory bank, and you know, when those happen again, definitely. You know, execute and you know, figure out a way to make him pay. But I think he did a good job today. Defense did a good job over there on the first quarter, and you know, throwing a few wrinkles in, and then you know, we gotta find ways to respond. Myself, we gotta find ways to, you know, I gotta, you know, find a check down that moment or anything like that when those moments happen. But you know, we'll get better. I'll get better and move on from there.
Caleb, this downturn the last couple of weeks has coincided with Thomas Brown having had coaching responsibilities in addition to OC, and also being on the field as opposed to upstairs. Is there a correlation there? Has the dynamic changed? And is it affecting you, the offense, that he's in a different position now than he was before?
I couldn't tell you if it was a correlation or anything, but, you know, I think he's calling the game the same way. I think that he, as he would then. I think he's still, you know, getting the plays in fast. I think he's still calling the same plays that he would have called, or calling it the same way. I think we just got to go out there and execute. I think we, you know, there's a few times where even myself didn't execute. You know, whether it was a motion, whether it was a, you know, the timing of the play. I know I had two today where I kind of messed up the timing of the play, which is frustrating. But I think we just got to go out there and execute. I think we got to be better overall, just all of us, players, coaches. You know, and then from there, you know, we've got to find ways to win the game and, you know, be efficient on offense. Awesome. The Bears.
Just a couple quick observations from Caleb Williams there. First of all, and I've been saying all night, no quarterback is franchise proof or organization proof or dysfunction proof. And if this goes on long enough and to an extent enough, it will eventually hamper, if not break, Caleb Williams. I do believe that. But I also said I think he's handled this better than most guys would, better than the other three rookie quarterbacks that a lot of people are talking about right now would. And you hear it there in his voice, the resilience, the fact that he's still upbeat, he's still confident, he's still optimistic about his own future and his own progression and development, but also where this team is going and that they'll figure it out as a team. He's very matter-of-fact about and talking with Brian Peronski, honorary co-host for the evening, of like, yeah, we'll fix that. We know what went wrong there, and we'll fix that. Like he's almost nonchalant in how confident he is that they'll get this thing turned around. And I do love that. I think at some point it'll catch up to him, but right now I do love that about him, and I think he's gonna need that to come out the other side of this the way that we all want to see him come out the other side of this.
Yeah, I think definitely there's a concern that what's going on with the team is one, we talked about, you could get hurt, which
yes,
is a devastating thought, and it could make, you know, mentally
affect his development,
stunt his development. But I agree, I don't think we're seeing any of that now, right?
Not right now. No, we're not. No. The last question, I think it was Mark Potash who asked it, about the difference in the last two games versus the three previous, where Thomas Brown was his offensive coordinator and he was up in the booth calling the plays and everything else. That is something I worried about prior to making the move of Thomas Brown to interim head coach, and I brought it up last week because he's now regressed a little bit these last 2 weeks. We heard Layla and Pat and Olin talk about it a couple of segments ago. He has regressed now a little bit in these past 2 weeks, and I did wonder if taking Thomas Brown's focus off of Caleb Williams was necessarily the best move. I wanted Matt Eberflus fired. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I didn't. But at the same time, I was like, I kind of like this Thomas Brown, Caleb Williams dynamic, at least for the rest of this season. And the fact that the arrow has been pointed up for 3 weeks, and now we've seen the arrow pointed down for 3 weeks in terms of his development. And I do wonder how much of that is the impact of Thomas Brown being sort of pulled away from Caleb Williams as the head coach.
Yeah, before they let Eberflus go, I like the idea of putting in Richard Hightower as the head coach, let Thomas Brown stay as the offensive coordinator. Because if you look at those games, they got a serious, you know, offensive bounce after they got rid of Waldron. That's the 2019 loss to the Packers, the 30-27 loss in overtime to the Vikings, and then the Thanksgiving game. And so after scoring 3 points against the Patriots, 9 points against the Cardinals, the offense looked like it was working.
Now, and most importantly, Caleb Williams looked like he was moving in the right direction.
He looked like he was moving in the right direction.
Right.
We still had all of those three games, we still had this terrible first halves.
Yes. That's been something they haven't been
doing. That is kind of confounding. I said, I think 2 hours ago, I would inject some optimism into here. This is little sad version of that, but if you look at the way we scored 0 points in the first half, this game
is much better than the 0 points.
So much better.
Oh man, they looked so much better not doing anything offensively.
We had a drive where we had three first downs, and then the sack fumble. We had going for it on fourth and one twice, and they were actually getting yards, getting first downs, and In the Lions game, I think we had zero first downs and single digit yards in the first half.
Yeah, so they were not moving the ball more effectively this week. That's honorary and optimistic co-host Brian Peronski, our winner of the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon just a few months ago. You'll have a chance to to bid on the very same thing in this year's coming up Cubs for a Cure radio auction. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Just how much of this is fixable, we'll discuss in the 4 o'clock hour of Score Overnights on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.